Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Well, we're in week two of Surprise the World, and we're looking at how we as a church can live this out. Last week I mentioned that if you could memorize our vision mission, that there would be a prize for you if you could repeat it to us. Now, this looks like the birthday prize box, but there's actually full-size prizes. Whoops. And so I would like to invite you, if you're willing to share or have a go. Yes, Deb. Just where you're sitting at in a loud voice. Ah, oh, so good. Well done. Now, that was the first person. I want to give two or three other people a go as well. It's easier for you. Who else would like to have a go? Who else? Come in, looking for a volunteer. Full-size chocolate bars. Who's going to give it a go? No one's willing to give it a go. It's okay if you get it wrong, you'll still get a chocolate bar. Anyone? Dobbing other people in. if anyone dobs someone in again, I'm going to dob you in. I think we'll try it again next week. Because in order for us to live out a vision as a church, we kind of need to know it. And if we don't know it, then it's hard to live it. Because when we know it and remember it, you don't have to get the words precisely. When we know it and remember it, we can be thinking and filtering the world that we live in through it. When we think about the ministry that we do, when we know it, we'll live it through the ministry that we do. When we're looking at the world around us, we'll be thinking, how can I surprise the world? And so even if you don't nail it, because you can't say it every single word and you get jumbled around some, whether it's multicultural, multi-generational, and I want you to try. Because I think all of us could memorize this. Actually, I've got it up on the screen now. You're probably going to go home and not try and remember it. What I would like you to do now is with the person next to you, find another person. I want you to look at it for 10 seconds, and then I want you to say it to the other person, and then I want you to listen to them as they're doing it, and then I want them to do it to you. Go. Here's your practice time for next week. In 10 seconds, I'm going to flick the screen off, and then I'm expecting you to give it a go again. Have another try. Help each other out. You've got 30 seconds more. Okay, it's not up on the screen anymore. You've had your chance. You've had your opportunity. Who would like to have another go for a chocolate bar? Who would like to have a go? Yes, Gary at the back. Hey, try again. Wait, you're reading it. You can't read it. Thank you for putting your hand up, though. Anyone? No? Yes, go Julie. Thank you. I love bold people. Thank you. That's all right. And doubting. Yes, brilliant. I'm going to give you a chocolate because it's not about getting it right. It's about actually giving it a go. And being a Christian is not about always getting it right. It's actually about being bold enough to be willing to put yourself out there and give stuff a go. Because trying and failing is better than not trying and doing nothing. Because if you try and fail, I can see your heart in that. And so I want to see your heart in the vision. And so thank you for heart, Julie. Learn off that, everyone. I love that boldness. Love must be sincere. We talked about that last week, how in order to live a faith that's surprising to the world, we must have that refreshing faith in Jesus. We must have that faith that is life-giving to us as a believer. And where there's disconnection from that, we must deal with the disconnection because love must be sincere. The way that we love needs to be reflected from the heart. And so there's some challenges in the Bible reading in regard to that. So let me read from Romans 12. It says, do not repay anyone for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. So that sounds like, oh, just something I should do. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it's mine to avenge, I will repay. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so there's this call for us to live out a sincerity of love, even in some of the hardest circumstances. I'm really impacted by a story that Graham Cook talks about, which changes his whole ministry. And it was a series of dreams. He had three dreams over three different nights. And I want to share with you those dreams that he had, because I think what you'll see in them is they represent perspectives that we can have when we seek to love other people with the sincerity of love. And so the first dream that he had, he was driving along in a car, and it was an old sort of rust bucket car, and he stopped on the side of the road, and there was a young man. He said to the young man, he gestured to him, hop in. And the young man looked at the car. It was an old car. He's kind of like, oh, should I get in? Should I not get in? Hopped in the car, and he had to sort of push aside the rubbish. And he said to the old man, there's so much rubbish in your car. And the old man said, oh, don't worry, you'll get used to it. Just push it off to the side. And so they drove off in the car. And as they're driving down the streets, the old man will point to people and say, oh, this guy that you see walking along with a limp, he's got a limp because he's always drunk and he's got so many problems in his life. And this woman, you can see the way she's dressed and what the result is going to be. And she's probably got three kids from different fathers. And as he was driving down the street, he would see all these people and see them as problems. And at the end of that night, he woke up and he felt really bad about the dream that he just had. And what you can see in that dream is this judgmental attitude, looking at the people of this world and judging them, making harsh statements about who people are and coming to false conclusions maybe about where they've come from and the story that they share. The second dream that he had, he was driving along and he was in a brand new car. It was a really nice car. And as he pulled up, this young guy looked at the car and said, oh, nice car. Does it have all these new features? Does it have GPS? Does it have all this? And they said, yeah, come on, hop in. And the guy driving the car was the old guy still, and there was a young guy who hopped into the car. And as they drove along, he pointed out a guy and said, see this man here, he's had a problem with alcohol, but don't worry, we've got a 12-step program for him. We'll take him through that 12-step program and we'll see him healed of this problem with alcohol. See this woman, she's got a problem with drugs. Don't worry, we've got a program for that. See this person that's walking along without any shoes. Well, we've got a homelessness helping program. See this person that doesn't have any food to eat. Well, we've got a program to feed food to the homeless. And at the end of the dream, he sort of woke up and he didn't necessarily feel any better. He felt stressed by all the programs that he had to run in order to reach the people. And he reflected on it and realized that at his church, he ran a lot of programs, but he wasn't seeing a lot of change. The third dream that he had, driving along, this brand new car, arrived at the young man, and the young man looks in and goes, oh, where's the old guy? There's a new young guy driving the car. And the new young guy said, well, you know, we got rid of him. And the young guy said, well, I'm glad you got rid of him. He was kind of getting on my nerves. I was so depressed sitting in the car with him because of the perspective that he had on the world. And then so they drove off in the car, and the young man pointed out the different people and said, see this guy, he's an entrepreneur, he's got a future in this area of business. See this person over here, they've actually got a gift of singing that God wants to release, and as that person's encouraged in their gift of singing, people that are bound and chained up are going to be released by that gift. And as he drove along, this new young man was pointing out all the people and pointing out, rather than their problems, their purposes. What I love about that story is he's identifying some of the attitudes that we have as a church. One is judgmental. Look at you, you're a problem. The other is, oh, look at you, you've got a problem, I've got a solution. And the third one, which he presents as a new way of looking at things, is actually, you're a person with a purpose. You've just not yet discovered it. Sincere love connects us in with the way that God the Father views people, not as problems, but as people with a purpose that he has a plan for. When we connect in with sincere love, we actually connect into God's heart for people. And so God isn't looking at all the people in the world going, oh, you've got a problem with this. I'm going to judge you for this. I'm going to judge you for that. God looks at each of the people in this world and goes, I've got a purpose for you. If only you would come to me and eat from what I offer you and drink from what I give you, you'll be nourished and fed and be able to serve that purpose in this world. I've come that you may have life and life in the full. He sees people without life and offers them life in the full. And so sincere love doesn't look at people as problems. Sincere love isn't filled with judgmentalism. Sincere love actually looks at people and sees them the way the Father does, with purpose, with a new identity. Where does that flow from? That flows from us actually having a refreshing, life-giving faith in Jesus Christ. And as we go out, this verse from 1 Corinthians 10:33, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. I often, when I look at this passage from 1 Corinthians, dwell on the verses that sit before it, talking about doing all things for the glory of God, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And I wrestle with that. How am I glorifying God through my actions? But this week I sat on this verse, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that many may be saved. I look at my own investments, my own thinking, and often, I don't know about you, but I find that in things I may be seeking my own good. I wonder, when you think about being surprising to the world, do you seek your own good? When you think about just living life, do you seek your own good or the good of many so that they may be saved? See, it seems to be to me that when you read this verse, that there's a connection between what we're seeking and a result, so they may be saved. When we go out seeking just to feel good by doing the right thing, we're not seeking the good of many. But when we seek the good of many, God's going to bring salvation through us. Because we're thinking, well, what are their needs? How can I love them? How can I be an overflowing fountain of the love of God in a place that it's needed? For I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many. And as we're doing that, there's that verse, for I don't want anyone to stumble. So he's willing to present himself in any way. He's willing to serve in whatever way, because he's seeking the good of many, and he doesn't want anyone to stumble. I hear lots of talk about the coronavirus at the moment. I hear lots of people dismissing it, judging other people. Have you judged someone for emptying a supermarket shelf? That's all of us. Is that the Father's attitude? What is it that's going on in their heart and their mind that they're so anxious that they need to stock up? How is it that they've been so caught up in just the momentum of anxiety and fear that's flowing through our media that they're on board with it as well? Do we see them as a problem, or does our heart go out with compassion? And then with compassion, do we see that God actually has a purpose for them to bring them peace that passes all understanding? Do we see that? Do we know that? Do we live that? Or do we just stay in this judgmental place where we're kind of set apart and seeking our own good rather than the good of many that they may be saved? I was joking with Katie that maybe I could walk into the supermarket and, you know, just drop my pants around the ankles, just wander around and... Has anyone got any toilet paper? But there's a lot of anxiety and stress. And that's just me diffusing some of that, because you might feel that. And that's okay. God wants to meet you in that. And he has a purpose to use you to meet others in that place of anxiety and stress, that they will be free from that. See, we have something to offer the world, and that is Jesus. And sometimes we go, oh, well, you know, I just seek to serve people and I'll do good for people. I'll give them some toilet paper. That will relieve their stress. Only until they need more toilet paper. But if you give them Jesus, if you teach them to feed off Jesus, then they are never going to go hungry. They're never going to be thirsty because they know where to drink, where to find their own food. And so when we go and we meet people, we don't just do good for them. We actually seek to introduce them to Jesus, that in knowing Jesus, they will have the one that offers them life. And it's not because our lives are perfect because we know Jesus, but we know that when we drink from him, he will nourish us with the life that we need. None of us is living out this perfect life. We could put all of us on this platform on a chair and say, tell me about your last week, tell me about all your thoughts, and get judgmental. And that would be easy because all of us fall down at some level. But when we tune into what God's wanting to do, which is bring life to us as believers and to those who are unbelievers, then we're partnering with him in what he's wanting to do to the world. Let me encourage you, if there's someone that's particularly anxious about this, they don't like shaking hands. They feel awkward about contact. Put yourself in a place of being willing to actually give up what you like doing and how you like interacting for the sake of them. But then seek to love and serve them. You may usually put your hands on someone as you pray for them. Offer to pray for them, but don't put your hands on them. That's okay. God's still going to work. Say you'll pray for them, but actually my encouragement is grow in the gift of praying for people in their presence. So say, I'm feeling really anxious about this virus and what's going on. Can I pray for you? And pray for them and ask God to fill them with his peace that passes understanding. As a church, in growth groups, we've been looking at this little book, Surprise the World. Who remembers Bells? Anyone? No, it's up on the screen, so you don't have to remember it. I'm not testing you now. But it stands for this acronym, Bless, Eat, Listen, Learn, Scent. We're using this book by Michael Frost because we think he captures things really well. If you haven't read the book and you're just doing the studies as a group, let me encourage you. It's one of the easiest 110 pages that you're going to read. And there's lots of really, really practical biblical things in there for you to consume that will affect the way that you live out your faith. It talks about missional habits, five habits of highly missional people. The first one is blessing. And one way we do that is blessing people with our words. So being generous with the way that we speak about people, being generous with our money, blessing people financially, blessing people with gifts, Blessing is one of the ways in which we give where it's not necessarily deserved or expected, in a way that blesses and encourages people. We've had some great teaching in the past on blessing. Let me encourage you, revise some of those notes. I was really encouraged by Bob. I've worked with him over the last couple of weeks in reminding him of some of the blessing things, and then he blessed me in his prayers. And so I was really touched by how he did that. But God has given us this authority and this ability to bless people and to be generous with the words that we speak to them. And I think you will surprise people, because Christians aren't necessarily known for being generous with their words. And so when you bless the shop attendant, bless someone at work, and you don't necessarily have to use blessing words, but you may say, I can see how well you're working at this, and I think you've got a real gift with working with people, and I just want to encourage you in that. It could be as simple as that. Bless people. So bless those that are part of the body of believers. Bless those that are outside the body of believers. Eat with people. That is, be hospitable. For me, I've grown up in a family where hospitality was something my mum would always do. There was five kids, so there was a crowd already. But we'd always have people over, and I always saw the way that my mum served through hospitality. For you, you may not have grown up in that environment, so you might find hospitality, being hospitable to other people, inviting them over to eat, stressful. Let me encourage you that growing as a Christian isn't always just easy. Growing as a Christian happens as we are on mission with Jesus and partner with him and what he's wanting to do. You might not be the kind of person that can invite over 10 people and feed them, but you can invite two. And that's a place to start. And you may not want to, but in that place of not wanting to and inviting and being obedient to the call to be hospitable, you'll find that you grow. Because it's not I grow and then I do mission. It's I grow on mission with Jesus. And so as we seek to be hospitable as a church, we're going to grow. But it's not just invite the people that you love hanging out with to lunch. Because that would be easy, right? But Romans says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. A lot of people talk about the heaping burning coals and go, yeah, he's going to feel really convicted that he's so bad. And go, yeah, how can I do that? How can I bring this? You know, they're a bad person. They've got it coming to them. I'm going to just heap burning coals on their head. What is it actually talking about here? It's saying, feed them, give them something to drink. You're blessing them. And as they feel incredibly loved by you, they're going to come into that kind of Isaiah-type conviction where he falls before the throne of God and goes, I'm so unholy. You're so holy, God. But it's not... They're saying, you're the God. They're actually saying, I'm so loved. Oh my gosh, I can't believe how much you're loving me. Not I'm so bad, but oh my gosh, I can't believe how much you're loving me. And so they turn away from this way of being an enemy. So we overcome evil with good. The third thing we do is we listen. So that is, we be spirit-led. So we're listening for opportunities to serve and partner with what God's doing. We're listening to how he's speaking to us. We're dedicating time to just sit and go, God, where are you wanting to direct me? How do you want me to invest my time, money, all of that sort of stuff? Being spirit-led is something we want to do. Learning. And so he talks about being Christ-like. So not only learning to live like Jesus, understanding our faith in Jesus, learning in a way that we can actually express our faith in Jesus to people. I was talking to a friend during the week, and he was talking about how... It's not someone from here. He was talking about, he has, oh, preachers, they often preach and they give you work to do, but I'm all about being saved by grace, and we just need to be reminded of how we're saved by grace. And I don't think those are oppositional things. You see, as you are reminded of your identity in Jesus, as you are reminded of how you are saved by grace, that there's nothing that you can do to earn God's approval, as you grow in your understanding of who you are and what Scripture says, you're actually going to become more Christ-like in that process. You're going to be renewed. But that sounds a lot like work to me. And it's not a work that produces salvation. It's a work that flows from your salvation. That as you get to know Jesus, you actually need to do work. So if you're not doing the work of reading your Bible, there's audio Bibles. Everyone can listen to something. If you're not understanding some of the challenges that are wrestled with in the world about God, then you can read, like, there's lots of simple books, or there's talks, there's YouTubes, there's things that we can do to learn and grow in Christ-likeness. We grow here on a Sunday, but what are you doing to feed and to wrestle and to learn? You see, it's not that we become a Christian and then we've got it all figured out. It's actually we grow and are transformed by the renewing of our mind as we together work out our faith with fear and trembling before God. The fifth thing it talks about in Bells is scent. And he talks particularly about this aspect of journaling. So journaling down different missionary opportunities, looking at the world around you and thinking about yourself as a missionary. That's what he's really seeking for us to do. Reflect on the world that we live in. Reflect about how God's positioned us in it. And reflect about the opportunities we have to be missionary people in the world that we're in. And so that's Bells. I'd encourage you to read this book. I'd encourage you to give the exercises a go if you're in a growth group. Give them a go. Actually put the things into practice, because if we don't practice the things, we're actually not going to grow. See, a lot of the growth stuff happens outside of Sunday as you respond to what has been shared and put it into practice. As a church, we haven't copied that, but these are the things that we talk about, habits that we talk about to be surprising to the world. So that is, be hospitable, so that all people feel like family through our practical love. When was the last time you invited someone that you didn't really like for lunch? You don't have to invite a whole bunch of people that you don't like for lunch, because there's going to be an awkward chemistry in the room. But let me encourage you, invite some people that you enjoy hanging out with and you find really easy, but invite some people that you find harder to hang out. And in that moment, guess what you're going to get to do? You're going to get to grow in love. That's an amazing opportunity for you to then go, hey God, you love this person. I'm not in that place yet. Take me to that place of knowing what it is that you love about them. Help me to love them in the way that you do. And it's in that place of doing missional things that you are surprised by God's love and how he wants to work through you. So be hospitable. Think about some people that you can invite along. If it's for you, hospitality is hard, that's okay. It's a growing opportunity. Be generous with our resources, our attitudes, and our spiritual gifts. That is, think about what God's given you in your hands and how you can use that to be a blessing to the world. Think about your attitudes. How do you think and talk about other people? Is judgmentalism creeping into the way that you think and talk about people? Are you judging the people that are emptying the shelves? Well, how about you invite God to help you to love them and give you his perspective on them? How about your spiritual gifts? Are there gifts that you have that maybe you haven't allowed God to develop? You haven't invited God to develop? Maybe you have a hidden gift of music that's never been brought up front. Maybe you have a teaching gift and you've never really stretched and grown. None of us start in our spiritual gifts in a finished reality. All of us have to grow and develop and partner with the Lord in that. So be generous. Think about that. Maybe you're really gifted and we've just not seen it. Think about how you can be generous. To be surprising to the world, we want to be engaged with our culture through our prayers, our preaching, and our action. So how does your prayer life go? Does it look at the needs that sit in front of you? Or do you think about the needs that are around you, that inner circle, maybe then the needs around you, the community around you, Australia, around you, the world? To be surprising to the world, we want to be global in our mission, our prayerful concern, and our multicultural identity. How are you praying for, supporting, we as a church support global mission? How are you seeking to be loving people that are not just like you? How are you expanding your vision for how God's wanting to work across the world? On that page, there's lots of things that we can think about doing. Things that we can think about internally, we can do amongst us, but also things that we can think about and how we impact and surprise the world around us. Now, if I send you away and say, these are things we should do, you might go, oh yeah, these are things we should do. But what I want you to think about, I'm going to give you a minute now, is what's one thing I could do this week? So they're up on the screen. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to think. What's one thing you could do this week? You might just want to ask God, Lord, is there an area you want me to grow in? What's that one thing? When you've got that one thing, you may be like me and remember it now and feel really convicted by it now, and then it pops up again on Thursday because you've forgotten about it until Thursday. If you're like that, put a little reminder in your phone, put it on your list. Tell the person next to you so that they can remind you. If you've not got something, let me encourage you that prayer is something that we can all do more of. I feel convicted to expand what I pray for, to be more intentional in being engaged in my prayers with the greater world. For me, that looks like work, because I've actually got to read up, prepare, spend time. Now I can go, oh, that's work, I've got too much other stuff. Or I could actually just go, I'm going to apply myself to this week and be more intentional in the way that I'm engaged with praying for the wider world. So for you, what does that look like? What I want you to do is just before God, we're now going to hold those things in prayer and ask that He would strengthen, empower, and encourage us to do those things. Father, we thank you that you have called us to be a people that are surprising to the world. I thank you that there's lots of practical ways in which we can seek to be surprising to this world. Lord, we lift before you the ways in which we feel like we're being challenged, or you're challenging us, Lord, to grow and be an influence in this world. And we lift them before you, knowing, Lord, that as you call us to things, you gift us for them. You strengthen us for them. Lord, for all of us, some things are easy, some things are hard, Lord. Lord, for those of us, Lord, that are particularly challenged by the hardness of pursuing new habits, we pray that you strengthen our resolve, that you strengthen our will, Lord, that we will be able to put into practice what you're calling us to. Lord, may you surround us with the people and the resources that we need to partner with you, Lord. And Lord, as we all seek to be your people in this world, we pray, Lord, that you would refresh, encourage, renew, and strengthen us for that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're gonna sing But as we prepare to sing, let me invite you to stand. God has called you to be His surprising message bearer to the world. Imagine if each of us took that seriously. Look at the people around you. Imagine every single person did one thing this week. Every single person. Imagine how this world will be changed by just that one thing we do. Imagine for us, as these things become part of our DNA and some things that we felt unnatural about suddenly become the natural way that we live and engage with the world and we take on new things. Imagine what it's going to look like as we just naturally live out this surprising life to the world. Now, this is something that we are resolving to do together. This is something we're deciding to do together. This is something we're trusting the Lord to do in us and through us. The Lord's calling us to be a people of action, to be His hands and feet in this world. So let me encourage you and bless you as you seek to do that in the name of Jesus. Amen.